For our first Sunday of Advent, if you see in the front of your bulletin, you may notice that I have chosen a very un-Advent-like story. The story of adult Jesus versus prenatal or infant Jesus. And this Jesus is visiting the home of his good friends Mary and Martha in Luke chapter 10. And I encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 10 if you have your Bibles. Now, the more I thought about this year's theme, simply Christmas, the more convinced I became that this is the story that we needed to hear. Or maybe it's the story I needed to hear, and you can just kind of listen in. And maybe as we read it, you'll get it too. Maybe not, but let's try. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, what I saw or heard in this story when I read it in preparing for the Advent season and the theme, I kind of had this picture in my mind. You know, the gleaners, or you could insert the Esaus, or you can fit your name in there, you know, find themselves possessed by the Christmas spirit. Somehow this so often happens to us over the course, especially the closer December 24th gets and the shopping isn't all done and it begins to get chaotic. And then I opened up one of my commentaries as I was preparing, and the commentator Fred Craddock said, "We must not cartoon the scene. You know, Martha to her eyeballs and soap suds, Mary pensively on a stool in the den, you know, and Jesus giving scriptural warrant for letting the dishes pile up in the sink." He said, "If we censor Martha too harshly, she may abandon serving altogether, and if we commend Mary too profusely, she may sit there forever." Well, it is clear that in this story, Jesus confronts Martha and commends Mary. But what exactly the issue or problem is less clear, since especially as I started looking at it more deeply, people differ widely as to how they define the problem. So I want us to take a closer look at both what's wrong with Martha's behavior and what's right with Mary's. What's wrong with Martha's behavior? Well, some have said it's her mood. Oops, one too many. Oh, well, maybe it just got mixed up there. Okay, we'll do two at a time. Her mood and her tone. You know, she seems kind of ticked off and upset with her sister. She seems overly preoccupied with her work. And perhaps it's her busyness. As someone said, she's all work, 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 trying to prepare too many dishes, you know, when only a few are needed. Maybe only even one. You know, keep it simple, stupid, we sometimes say. Or perhaps her priorities. You know, spiritual priorities are more important than physical tasks. Or don't miss the moment by focusing on less important matters. Some have even suggested that it's her pride. Maybe she thought, you know, a well-kept home and home-cooked meal, you know, it makes you feel like what you're doing is important in Jesus' eyes. And maybe he'd rather just have you spend time building a relationship with him rather than trying to earn brownie points. Some have suggested the problem is her bossiness. You know, she's imposing her expectations, her priorities, her assumptions on her sister. And some have even suggested her gender stereotyping. Yeah, well, you see, in that day and age, studying, you know, God's word, that was man's work. And the women's work was domestic duties in the kitchen, and Mary seems to be breaking outside of the roles. I think perhaps Timothy Gedert is right when he says that there might be truth in more than one of these. So let's explore the story in a little more detail, to get to the main point or points being made about what's wrong with Martha's behavior and what's right with Mary's. And by the way, interpreters don't agree on what's right with Mary's behavior either. Some say it's her priorities that's right. You know, spiritual versus physical. Studying is more important than serving. I think that was the monks and nuns that came up with that one. Perhaps it's her humility. You know, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. She's not telling Jesus what to do like her sister. Maybe it's the simplicity. She's single-minded, listening to Jesus. Well, I think we, just before we get into the story, I was chatting with Pastor Dave earlier this week as well. You know, one of the things that we can do is also we can kind of typecast people. You know, and we can take this story as, you know, oh yeah, this is the caricature of Martha, you know, all the time. And people can get typecasted. So, for example, you know, in the Gospels, doubting Thomas, right? One of Jesus, you know, there's more than one story in the Gospels about Thomas. But the one that, you know, he got labeled with was that one occasion where he said, you know, unless I see Jesus for myself and put my hand on his wounds, I just will not believe. You know, and they miss one of the places where he is willing to die for Jesus. And he of all the disciples says, well, Jesus says it's time to go to Jerusalem. And we know it's dangerous, but I'm willing to go and die with him. How about you guys? And actually, Martha, it's interesting. There's a story in John's Gospel, chapter 11. Their brother Lazarus has died. Jesus didn't quite come as soon as they were expecting. And when he comes, one of the sisters meets Jesus. And Jesus, you know, gives a wonderful words of encouragement. Your brother will rise again. And she says, yes, in the resurrection. And then Jesus makes this great pronouncement in which he reveals his identity. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes, and you can see up there. And then right here in the middle of the gospel, somebody gives the great confession of faith. They really get who Jesus is. And one of these sisters says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. They're the hero we're all waiting for, the Son of God who is to come into the world. Okay, pop quiz. Who says this, Mary or Martha? How many think Mary says it? Yeah, I've set you all up. Okay, so yes. Okay, how many think Martha said it? Well, there's a lot of non-committed people here. Okay. By the way, there is the answer, but it just as a warning, you know, don't fit her just into this mold. Okay, so let's actually look at Martha in the story that we read. Martha's opening response is actually that of wonderful, warm hospitality. And in the narrative that Luke is giving, there have been people that have shut the door in Jesus' face and said, don't come to our place. And so here we have somebody opening wide their door. Very important cultural value in that day, especially given the number of rejections Jesus, and he's with his other disciples that they get. And Mary's response, notice it says she sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. What we may not get is that specific posture and language is the specific language used at that time and in that culture to describe a disciple, a student, an apprentice, one who had entered into that. For example, if we look, exactly that same phrase is used in Acts chapter 22, where the Apostle Paul, he's describing himself as one who studied under the famous Rabbi Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law. And the phrase translated by the New International Version as studied under Gamaliel is literally at the feet of Gamaliel educated. That's what it is in Greek. It's the same phrase, at the feet of. And the NIV has said that means he studied under him. And so to sit at the feet of a rabbi is to study under him. We would say he's studying under a professor such and such. Thus, Mary has become a student, a disciple of Rabbi Jesus. She is being educated by him. And commentator Kenneth Bailey, who has spent most of his life in the Middle East and in that cultural context, thinks that this is one of the many things that Martha is worried and upset over. that her little sister is going against the grain of cultural expectations, studying under Rabbi Jesus with a group of men. It's like, how embarrassing, how disgraceful. What will the neighbors think and say if they hear or see about this? And while Jesus is teaching his disciples, notice what Martha is doing and how she is described. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. That word distracted in the Greek means to be drawn away, over-occupied by something. And so Martha probably had allowed her preparations to become too elaborate. Something to impress others. I wonder instead it was probably because she wanted to honor Jesus. I mean, who wouldn't want to do and give their absolute best for Jesus, right? But she had become over-occupied by all the preparations for Christmas. Sorry, it doesn't say that for Christmas, but that can happen to us. Sometimes because of our own internal expectations of what we think it really the play should be like or the meal should be like or what we should be doing, you know, and all of these shoulds, these internal things are driving us, and sometimes it's the expectations of others. Sometimes it's a combination of each, because when one of the neighbors was putting up lights yesterday and they had more lights than I did, I thought, should I get the big ladder out and start putting up some more lights? And, you know, the expectations, but they can get to us from the internal or from external. Sometimes it's tradition. You know, it's just that's always done and we think we have to do all of this stuff. Sometimes it's the perfectionist in us that doesn't only want to do a good job, but wants to do it perfectly. Sometimes it's the materialism of it. We think more things will do it. But the story challenges us, do we take time to ask what Jesus expects, or do we just assume from tradition, from what we think or feel, from what others are saying or doing, or do we take time to ask what Jesus is thinking and expects? Now, Martha did go to Jesus and ask a question. But if you look at the question, it's really a criticism disguised as a question, right? It's not a real genuine question in that sense, or maybe it's a rhetorical, in which she basically tells Jesus, get with a plan. You know, her plan, of course, not his plan, but her plan, and make my sister get with a plan. And if you don't, you don't care about me. Notice me, myself, and me comes up fairly often in that question, right? And notice Jesus' response. Martha, Martha. How are different ways you might, what tone do you think he used when he came up with that? Often that word repeated twice is not used as Martha, Martha, although sometimes I knew what was coming if my name was used twice when I was growing up. It's much more Martha, Martha. It's expressing concern, caring, not condemnation. He doesn't mirror or reflect back the tone that she was using to him. He doesn't just like, whoa, yeah, get it and give it back. No, no. Jesus is concerned that Martha, he's concerned for Martha and for Mary. He's concerned for Martha that she has allowed her many distractions, her many preparations to distract her, and she is in danger of allowing them to distract her sister. And so Jesus challenges Martha, and he also needs to defend Mary. And he defends Mary's choice to, yes, study under him. Even though it goes against the grain of Martha's expectations and the cultural expectations of others. Martha's service is problematic because it is too excessive and is marked by anxiety, agitation, and distraction. But you know what? I think if Mary was physically sitting at the feet of Jesus, but she
was marked by, you know, anxiety, agitation, preoccupied with anxiety about all the things that she needed to get to and that, you know, wonder if she could slip away or not. I think if she was preoccupied and agitated and distracted, Jesus would have had a word to say to her as well, a word of correction. And so I think there are multiple things going on in this story. And I think the challenge for us is, what is Jesus' word for us as we begin this Advent season? It is worth noting that in the story immediately prior to this one in Luke's gospel, if you have your Bibles open and you just scan ahead, you see the title of that one? It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus is talking with an expert in the law. You see, in this story, immediately prior to the Mary and Martha one, Jesus has just met a man skilled in the scripture, and yet he has trouble hearing and obeying the word of God. And Jesus offers him an unlikely example to follow. Somebody who doesn't know very much about the Bible, but knows how to obey what he does know. This good, what we call the Good Samaritan. Somebody who the religious people didn't expect, you know, to be able to living in sync with God. And now Jesus visits, not with a man, but with a woman who is so busy serving, doing, that she does not hear the word. And Jesus, too, offers her an example, a kind of a corrective, her own sister. So it's worth noting that in the story immediately prior to this one, Jesus' command to the expert is, go and do. You just read and read and study, do it. Get active. And to the activist, his command, his counsel, especially to one who is a novice in the law, is to sit down and listen and learn. You see, Jesus' word is not the same to everyone in every situation or need. And so we need to take time to ask Jesus himself, Lord, I need guidance and direction here. Because Christmas is coming, and there's a well-worn path and expectations of all the things that I'm going to do. And if I don't listen, I'm just going to do everything that I've always done, or the internal or external expectations. And so I think it's really important that we ask, how has the story reading us? In our Alpha group this morning, we were looking at why and how to read the Bible. And I said, one of the things I find about the Bible is I start reading the story, and then I find it starts reading me. And I think that maybe for us finding the balance, I used to think that finding a balance, maybe you're the go and do person, maybe you're more the Martha in this story aspect of it. And maybe you recognize, okay, I should be a little bit more like Mary is. I should take some time in this story. I should take some time more to listen. And I used to think, you know, if I'm over here on this end of the spectrum, you kind of nudge your way over towards this balance somewhere that you think is there. You know, or if you're the other way, you just kind of, on this end of the spectrum, like Mary, you just kind of nudge your way over to the balance in the center. You know, I found that's not how you find balance. You'll never find balance. I tried doing that. It didn't work. Instead, what God did, the activist in me, you know, I burned out. And then I had to get over, then I was really incapacitated. And I really learned what it's like to be on the other side of the spectrum. Because I needed a lot of time to recover. And to figure out what were these internal and external expectations, that the script that I was living out of, rather than what was Jesus' script for me. And it was in having some experience on each that I began to find more of a zone in what balance is like and when I was feeling out of balance. And sometimes there's also seasons in life. And God also taught me, you know, growing up on a farm, we knew that there were seasons, harvest season and planting season. You are going to work long, long hours. But then there were also seasons where then you took more time, you had time off, and you could rest and relax. And I discovered that church work also has these seasons. And so it's very important that balance can also look like, yes, sometimes we need to be actively doing. And there were days in Jesus' life where just one need after the other that he was addressing. And then you find out, and then the next story is, you know what, guys? We've got to get away by ourselves onto the boat and be away for a while. Because I know you've expended a lot, and you need time to relax. You need time to replenish your spirit, mentally, physically, emotionally. And we only know what it is that balance in this season of our life is looking if we take time to listen to Jesus. So as you reflect on the Mary and Martha story, ask yourselves maybe where do you find it difficult to resist internal or external expectations for yourself? And maybe also, where do you find it difficult to let other believers follow the convictions and promptings that God is giving them? How is the story? How is the Spirit reading you as you prepare for this Advent season? Let's pray. Lord, someone has said that there is a very good reason why you gave us one mouth and two ears, that we should spend more time listening than we do talking. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who eagerly desires to speak into our lives, to guide us, to free us from internal and external expectations that have nothing to do with what you are doing and want done in the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open up our ears this day, that you would liberate and free us to hear and obey what you are calling us to do, whether it is to have the neighbors in just for a cup of coffee rather than an elaborate meal that we never seem to get around to. Or maybe to take some time, less shopping and more time spent visiting. Lord, speak into our lives and guide us this season. Amen.